Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry to dash your hopes, but it is my spiritual gift. This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to be disappointed twice.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Oh, sorry.
Please accept.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My most humble apologies.
I apologize for that. But I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you.
I'm more sorry than you'll ever know.
Sorry about this.
Can I talk to? This is Wretched Radio. Sorry if you've been putting your hope in chariots, horses, and really bad pastors. I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed. Let me take you back in time. 17 years ago, in 2007, a whippersnapper, an upstart, burst onto the political scene, capturing everybody's attention and enthusiasm. Oh, this kid, he's got chops. He could be the president. That fellow's name was Barack Obama. So we did what we always do here in Wretched Radio Land. While we certainly are willing to look at the political realm, of course, we want to filter it through the Bible and what theological implications it might have, how we can apply scripture to the issues that we read about. And so immediately, we went to see, well, where does this guy go to church? What's his religious background? And I remember discovering a fellow named Reverend Jeremiah Wright. You know him. He's the fellow who, well, apparently doesn't want to bless America, if you recall. And I remember reading that, and it pains me to say, but I was, I said, well, that's it. That's the end of this kid. He couldn't possibly win. Having a background of being a member of a church for so many years and saying that this pastor is his pal, I thought, well, that's going to just doom his candidacy. And guess what difference it made? Nada, zero, zip. Yeah, it got picked up, especially some of the incendiary stuff from Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Now, he's a liberation theologian, and he had plenty of material that would indicate, whoa, anybody who's sitting underneath his teaching is going to believe the same thing. Well, somehow they did a dipsy doodle, and they danced around it. And, of course, liberal media didn't care much about it, and so it just frittered away, and he became the president twice. In other words, I hate to break it to you if you got all excited about discovering the pastor of Kamala Harris, thinking, this is going to make a big, people are going to see that she's really socialist and liberal and there's no way she can win. I don't think it's going to make any difference whatsoever. Apparently, she's pals with the pastor of Third Baptist Church. That hurt. Didn't it, my Baptist friends? Third Baptist Church in San Francisco. And this fellow has a long history of saying plenty of incendiary things. Don't make no never mind. Don't get your hopes up. I don't think it's going to make any difference. From Christian Post, Kamala Harris called her pastor on night of the presidential run. She said to me, "Pastor, I called because I want you to pray for me, my husband Doug, this country, and the race I'm intending to run for president." Bad sentence structure aside, it's clear this woman is very close to her pastor. She has known him for 30 years, and she knows him as somebody who has got a history of saying things like, America, America, what did you do? This is in regard to 9/11. Either intentionally or unintentionally, in the world order, in Central America, in Africa, where bombs are still blasting. America, what did you do in the global warming conference when you did not embrace the smaller nations? America, what did you do when I stood at the World Conference on Racism when you wouldn't show up? Even Nancy Pelosi responded. The act of terrorism on September 11 put those people outside the order of civilized behavior, and we will not take responsibility for that. In other words, the pastor of Kamala Harris said, 9/11, it's our fault. Oh, that's interesting. Will it make a difference? I don't think that it will. I'm afraid it probably won't. Let me share with you some more information on the pastor of Kamala Harris. I know, I'm as surprised as you are. From a report, 160 years, this is from the pastor, Dr. Amos C. Brown. The final report stated 160 years after the abolition of slavery, its badges and lingering negative effects of the incidents remain embedded in the political, legal, health institution of slavery on descendants' financial, educational, cultural, environmental, social, and of persons enslaved in the United Economic Systems of the United States of America. In other words, there is systemic racism, and the definition here is the systems are baked. They are racist in their documents because, you know, this can't be a well-kept secret. The belief is that all of these systems are still racist. He's a fan of reparations. The report that he was a part of went on to claim this system of white supremacy is a badge of slavery and continues to be embedded today in numerous American and Californian legal and social systems. And the state of California should create a state reparations statute or program. That's the pastor of Kamala Harris. And while she might try to distance herself from his comments or even from him, I doubt it. She speaks very fondly of this fellow. She has introduced him in very glowing terms, that this is a man that she respects. This is a man that she consults with regularly. Here's one of her introductions at the 2022 NAACP National Convention. I just want to, if you don't mind for a moment, take a moment of personal privilege. I just want to, if you don't mind for a moment, take a moment of personal privilege to talk about Dr. Brown. He has been on this journey with me every step of the way. Oh, from when I first thought about running for public office almost two decades ago. I think that was around the Willie Brown era. And he's been such a voice of leadership, more leadership and leadership in our nation. Let me just read that again. The articulation of the potential future president. He has been such a voice of leadership, more leadership and leadership in our nation. And so I want to thank you, Dr. Brown, for all that you are, all that you are. How's about the National Baptist Convention in 2022? For two decades now, at least, I have turned to you. I have turned to him, and I will say that your wisdom has really guided me and grounded me during some of the most difficult times, and you have been a source of inspiration to me always. So thank you, Reverend Brown, for being all that you are. She posted a photo of herself and Reverend Brown on Instagram last year. It was an honor to be with this man, to spend time with my pastor, Reverend Dr. Amos Brown of the Third Baptist Church. He remains a source of inspiration to me always. Perhaps your conservative spirit leapt a little bit. Oh, good. This will be turned into a commercial because it's not hard to find clips from the guy saying stuff. I actually went to the church's website. You're not going to find a statement of faith there. I looked for it. If you can find it, please send it to id@wretched.org. I couldn't find a statement of faith. That doesn't seem to be of much interest. I watched him preach. I watched many of the female pastors preach. Yeah. And this guy, he's very much, it is all about the racial struggle. It is not Jesus being preeminent. It is really a focus. And you can tell that, by the way, from his bio on the website. Known among world leaders, presidents, celebrities, and academicians alike for his trademark activism, intellectual discipline, and masterful oratory. Dr. Amos C. Brown has been the pastor of Third Baptist Church since 1976. At TBC, we find him to be a shepherd who takes seriously his responsibility to protect the sheep from predators, whether elected government officials, public analysts, or religious leaders who would misguide, mislead, or misfeed his flock. That is the pastor of Kamala Harris. And you perhaps find a glimmer of hope in that. This could turn the tide. This could usher in a better option. I'm sorry. I just don't think we can get our hopes up because America doesn't seem to care. We've long ago stopped considering an individual's religion as a part of what makes up the fabric of their worldview. And so while you and I aren't surprised to discover this, while you and I know the implications of this, sorry, the world doesn't care. This is Wretched Radio. I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Masters Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the Philippines. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Masters Academy International trains pastors internationally in 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transformed.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Mark was a follower of Christ, traveling companion of Paul, an associate of Peter. His gospel presents Jesus as the Son of God. Here, Jesus is the perfect example of self-sacrifice, the suffering servant who died as a ransom for our sins. When you suffer for obedience to Christ, do not be ashamed, for Christ suffered and died for our disobedience. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you worry. Haven't forgotten about our second disappointment. Oh, good, Friel. This is Wretched Radio. How is Andy Stanley a lot like Camelot? For one brief shining moment, we thought, hey, something strong from the North Point pulpit, which was immediately pulled off of X. Jimmy, would you be so kind to read the original tweet, because it no longer exists on the X. This is from Pastor Andy Stanley regarding the Olympic opening ceremony, which was blasphemous, a depiction of Da Vinci's Lord's Table with people slithering and transing all over the place. He responded and tweeted,
"Dear France, the Normandy American Cemetery is the final resting place of 9,238 Americans whose graves are marked by 9,238
somebody Googled
Go crosses.
Ahead. Go ahead.
American soldiers who in most cases volunteered to come to your shores in your time of need. Their final prayers were to the God whose son you mocked in front of the entire world. It was during the very meal you went to such creative pains to denigrate that Jesus instructed his followers to love one another and then defined what he meant. Greater love has no one than this, that one day or that one lay down his life for his friends. While you host the Olympic Games, remember your nation hosts a 172.5-acre reminder of what love looks like. You don't just owe Christians an apology. You owe the West an apology."
That was immediately pulled down. It was accurate, because clearly somebody Googled the cemetery in France and found out how many acres and how many crosses. Nevertheless, I think a more pastoral tweet would have been a call to repentance. This takes some discipline on our part. We can see these atrocities. We get righteously indignant about them, rightly so. But we need to remember that we need to be distinctly Christian in our responses. What is the concern? That they were mocking Christians? Well, yeah, but the much bigger concern is everybody involved, including the president of France, who said, "This is France." He probably didn't say it like that, but I'm translating it for you. They're all on an AC/DC highway. That's our concern. That this one that you mocked because you think that he is namby-pamby and his followers can simply be abused is going to return as the Lion of Judah, and he will deal with you, and you don't have a chance. France. That's the message of the Christian to these atrocities and these blasphemies that we've seen. By the way, shouldn't be a shocker. It turns out that the Olympic Committee, they thoroughly woke, no surprise. Anne Deschamps, spokesperson for Paris 2024, clearly there was never an intention to show disrespect to any religious group. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
You're a moron.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't mean to disrespect you.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do. Now, if you were offended, well, then sorry you were offended, which is exactly the non-apology apology she sort of delivered. We tried to celebrate community tolerance. Anybody smell that irony? We believe this ambition was achieved. If people have taken offense, sorry. That's not an apology. Thomas Jolly, the artistic director of the ceremony, defended the presentation, claiming the scene was not meant to mirror the Lord's Last Supper, although it did, but to depict a pagan feast celebrating the gods of Olympus. Oh, what painting is that exactly? This is from the International Olympic Committee guidelines called for implementing gender equal and fair portrayal practices in all forms of communication across every area of the Olympics. Stakeholders are encouraged to adopt and adapt these guidelines according to cultural context. Isn't it nice that science can morph and bend based on culture? Fascinating. Every person, irrespective of their gender identity or sex variations, has the right to practice sport without discrimination in a way that respects their health, safety, and dignity. And if you don't affirm them, they're going to commit suicide. I added the last part, but wouldn't be surprised. Stakeholders are to avoid communicating about the Olympics with language like born male, born female, biologically female. Use of phrases like those can be dehumanizing and inaccurate. Listen to this. When used to describe transgender sports people and athletes with sex variations, quote, a person's sex category is not a sign based on genetics alone. And aspects of a person's biology can be altered when they pursue gender-affirming medical care. Totally detached from reality. That's the pagan Olympics. That's what we were witnessing. And for one brief shining moment, Andy Stanley looked like, hey, I'm gonna speak out. Uh-oh. I got a lot of bad texts from people telling me I shouldn't have done that. And down it comes. My buddy Bart literally just sent this to me, and it is worth me reading on my phone. Sorry for that. So this might be a wee bit rocky. Nevertheless, Carl Truman, he's always worth reading. Even if you can't always understand him, it'll still make you smarter. So I'm reading, sorry, from my phone. This is hot off the press from worldwng.org. As we reflect on this moment, Christians should note this action indicates at least three things about our current cultural climate. First, the culture from which it emerged is largely parasitic, dependent for its existence on the denial or the mockery of what it once considered true. That's an interesting point, especially in light of Matthew chapter 13, which I'm preaching on this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church.org. Jesus identifies the one who brings tares into the church is the evil one. And what do we see from the evil one? He's a total counterfeiter. Think of the Antichrist. Kind of looks, but it's anti. I'm bringing people into the church filled with weeds, all kinds of tares that look like weeds, but they're not. He's slippery and he's a counterfeiter to the core. So with Carl Truman, I agree more from his article. It has nothing positive to say, glorying only in the defilement and destruction of things that earlier cultures saw as holy. Under its tasteless wrappings, it's an anti-culture of nothingness. Indeed, my understanding is they did like a parody on The Sopranos, I think. You know, just really, that's French culture. When I think France, I actually do think culture. You think great food, the architecture, whoa, the classic stuff anyway, the art, Notre Dame, the amazing, amazing architecture and landmarks. And what did they offer at the Olympics to showcase France to the world? Trivial, anti, not anything positive, not something visionary. Instead, it was all anti. Second, from Carl Truman, despite the outrage, it is oddly appropriate and fitting to French history and culture. Yep, France has produced a lot of good stuff, but on display in the opening ceremony is that other strand of French cultural life. Yep, the one that represents an ecstatic destruction of every notion of truth, beauty, and goodness. It is a paradox in France. You look around and you go, wow. And they hate it? Oh, okay. It's beautiful. And we got to get rid of it. What? God, that's France. It's because it's secular. That's why. Now, they can give a nod to the Roman Catholic Church, but it is thoroughly secular there, even their constitution. It is that stream of thinking that runs from the perverted sexual fantasies of the Marquis de Sade through the weird obsessions of men like Georges Bataille to the amoral philosophy of Michel Foucault. He's Mr. Postmodern, perhaps the most cited author in the humanities in the West. France has produced great beauty, but French thinkers who currently dominate Western intellectual approaches to culture are those who are exalted in ugliness and evil. That's France. Third observation from smart guy Carl Truman. Third, this again points to the real problem of the West. It's not merely that science has reduced man in his own eyes to being just one more animal among others. It's not merely that post-industrial bureaucratic society has turned persons into things, subjects into objects. It's not even that our culture's obsession with sex has unleashed all manner of anarchy upon the human race. It's that we now delight in desecration of God and thus of those made in his image. That is what we witnessed at the opening ceremony of the Pagan Olympics. Christian, we're definitely living in a world filled with rather aggressive tears. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start with Olympic news. The boxing ring is set to host a rather unconventional matchup this Thursday. A boxer from Algeria will face a boxer from Italy in the women's boxing event. Why is that controversial? Well, you know, I'm no boxing expert, but a man facing a woman in the Olympics, something tells me this should be raising a few more eyebrows than it is. The Algerian boxer, I cannot say his name, was previously disqualified from the Women's World Championship for failing the gender eligibility test. But who needs those pesky biological realities when you've got the Olympic spirit? Am I right? Yeah, speaking of spirits, hopping across the pond in Northern Ireland, praying in public has apparently become a rebellious act. Claire Brennan, a 52-year-old woman, was arrested outside of the Causeway Hospital for the egregious crime of reciting the Lord's Prayer. That's right, Ms. Brennan now faces potential fines and even imprisonment for up to 6 months. And going back to the Olympics, I skipped over this one, but then I decided, no, you should know this. A European sports commentator by the name of Bob Ballard found himself in hot water. His offense? Joking that women take a long time to get ready. He said, quote, well, the women are just finishing off. You know what women are like, hanging around doing their makeup and stuff. Yeah, well, apparently that harmless jest was deemed too spicy for Eurosport, who promptly removed Ballard from their Olympic broadcasting team. I guess maybe next time he probably should keep it to the safer topics like paint drying. And on a more serious note, Matthew Garrett, a former history professor at Bakersfield College in California, has reached a $2.4 million settlement with the school after being fired for criticizing its social justice initiatives. He will receive monthly payments over $9,000 for the next 20 years, plus a one-time payment of $154,000. Man, good for him. That's a win. In legal news, three pro-life activists have been sentenced to 3 years probation, including 90 days of house arrest for peaceful protests at a Tennessee abortion facility. All three were convicted of violating the FACE Act, a law guaranteeing entry into abortion facilities. During their sentencing, the trio spoke of their Christian faith and their belief in the value of human life. In today's world, praying outside of abortion clinics, singing hymns, well, those are federal offenses. And lastly, in Maryland, a couple is suing the Children's National Hospital after reportedly losing custody of their autistic son when they refused to transition his gender. The couple claims the hospital engaged in a full-on campaign to transgender their child and even forced the boy to write letters rejecting his previous male identity. The family is suing for up to $100 million to cover damages and legal costs, as they should. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again,
He will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Hey, did you see that guy at the Olympics who looked the way Tom Cruise sort of used to look? Let's play an exciting round of You Be the Judge. Oh, this is going to be this is a blockbuster. This is a rating sensation. Jimmy, are you prepared for your onerous responsibility to represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program?
Absolutely.
Which one do you like better? That's the name of this.
Oh, okay.
You shall judge. What are we calling it? You be the judge. We do this all the time here on Wretched Rackenstein. Jimmy, I'm going to share with you a contemporary worship song, a blockbuster, and then you are going to randomly pick a hymn from an old hymnal and then determine which song you like better. Are you prepared for your onerous responsibility?
Yeah.
The first song, wow, this is so great. Transformation Church. They're now making worship music too. And hey, their latest is number one. There's a shocker. All of these mega churches, air quote around churches, worship. You got to have the worship music, baby. If you're going to grow, if you're going to raise hundreds of millions of dollars, you better have the worship. So Bethel, Hillsong, Elevation, and now the new contestant, Transformation Church. Get ready to take dominion. Hey.
I got dominion. I got authority in the kingdom. Got everything I need. Holy rebellion. We're standing strong and free. Nothing can stop us. We got the victory.
Jimmy, if you didn't catch those lyrics, I got dominion, I got authority, in the kingdom, got everything I need, holy rebellion, we're standing strong and free, nothing can stop us, we got the victory, we got the victory. Oh, this is a section, this is probably the pearl in this treasure chest of a song. Look at the way I walk, walk, walk. 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 Jimmy, that would be your Dominion song. It's a blockbuster.
Yeah, I can tell.
Now, let's see which one you like better. I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers an old hymnal. This goes back to, it's got to be at least, 1940s. So this is an old hymnal. You pick any number between 1 and 600 and something. And I'll read the first stanza, and then you pick which song you like better.
47.
47, he says. Which, of course, is Savior again to thy dear name we raise. With one accord, our parting hymn of praise. So this is for the close of service, because hymns used to be written for different principles, different elements of the worship service. Once more we bless thee. Ere our worship cease, then lowly bending, wait thy word of peace. That is the hymn.
I got to win.
You got to win.
You got to win. You got to win. You got to win.
That's how we win.
You know, Jimmy, which one's your favorite?
You know, I know Dominion was all about me, but yeah. I'm going to go with the hymn.
You're going to go with the hymn. You must be old and out of date. Worship song number two. This also is from the Transformation Worship. It's about the overflow, prepared to be overflowed. Something. That's perky.
Everybody clap your hands. In this dry and empty land, we need more than just your hand. We need your voice, your word. So speak, oh Lord. At your word, the
stars are Wait. I've got the lyrics in front of me. It literally has. It literally says, this is the lyric sheet from one of those websites you go to get the lyrics. Everybody clap your hands. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So they got everything here for the worship team to parody, not to parody, to just absolutely try to mimic what's apparently successful by Transformation Church. In this dry and empty land, we need more than just capital your hand. What? What is that about? We need your voice. That's capital your word. So speak, O Lord, because apparently he's not enough. He needs to speak. At your word, the stars are hung. It's your breath that fills our lungs. No, actually, it's the air that he gives that fills our lungs. If they're talking about the nefesh, that God breathed life, yeah, but that's not the lungs. So here's my life. I'm yours. So speak, O Lord. Purify us with your fire. Gotta have some fire. You are holy here and now. Truth and spirit overwhelm us. We're your vessels. Fill us now. Everybody sing. Come on. Overflow. I hear you sing. Overflow. In my soul, say I'm so good. I'm so good. Yeah, 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 yeah. Overflow. Overflow in my soul. What's the matter, Jimmy?
That's going to be hard to top.
It is. You know what? Especially when you hear it. A little background. We need you to overflow. Here we go together. Everybody put your hands on it. We're ready for the overflow. Clap your hands, eh? In this dry and empty land, we need more than just your hand. Everybody sing, overflow. All right, Jimmy, there's your overflow.
Man.
It's blockbuster music on the gospel worship charts.
I can tell.
Pick a number, any number between 1 and 600 and something.
27.
Why do you always go so low?
I don't know.
All right, I got a feeling this will just be a straightforward worship song because that's typically what hymnals do. Hymnals used to be organized by parts of service. So sure enough, this is worship and praise. Did you say 26?
Seven.
Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. My soul, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, clap. Put your hands together.
No, that doesn't say that.
Sorry, my glasses need a little. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Let all within me join and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favors are divine. 26, praise the Almighty, my soul, adore him. Yes, I will laud him until death. With songs and anthems, I'll come before him as long as he doth give me breath. See, there it is, the breath thing.
Yeah.
It's just not the same as God filling my lungs or something like that. From my life and all things come, bless my soul, his holy name, hallelujah. Jimmy?
Yeah.
Got a preference?
No comparison.
All righty. Are you ready for song number three? This one comes, I decided to look up to the Elevation Church music, because they are number one in producing this track, these songs that are all the rage these days. Are you prepared for wind meeting fire? If you're not, we're going to get you in the mood. Because that's what we do at Mega Church Worship. We synthesize you into his presence.
Lord. Let my life be an altar.
Light up my lungs with your praise, because I can't breathe until you breathe. So breathe on me. Let my life be an altar. Oh, 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 oh.
That's great.
Until you breathe, so breathe on me.
Who can sing that corporately? Can you just zip in and out of your falsetto like that, Jimmy?
I can, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the part I wrote. I didn't get a writing credit for it, but this was me. Oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Lord, let my life be an altar. Light up my lungs with your praise, because I can't breathe until you breathe. So breathe on me. Let my life be an altar. This is the moment when wind meets fire. Come on in. Our hearts are burning for fresh revival. Blow again. This is the moment when wind meets fire. Come on in. Our hearts are burning for fresh revival. Blow again. So come on in. Come on in. Whatever you touch will live. Come on in. Come on in. Whatever you touch will live. Come on in. Come on in. I'm just reading them. Whatever you touch will live. Come on in. Come on in. Whatever you touch will live. Come on in. Come on in. Whatever you touch will live. Come on in. Come on in. This is. There you go, Jimmy.
Where do they want us to go?
I just in. Apparently, they want you to just get in there or something. 1 to 600. Make it snappy.
262.
262. Oh, sure. Now you go all deep on me, too. I should just pick anyone like you know the difference. Here we go. 262. A mighty fortress is our God. Oh. I think this game has ended.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order your court.
Martin Luther made as much as these people do. This is Wretched Radio.
Are you tired of Jesus being covered up by our post-truth world? Well, get ready, because it's time for you to pick up your copy of Jesus Unmasked by Todd Friel. Todd unpacks how the entire Bible, both Old and New Testaments, point to one man, Jesus himself. That's right, turns out the bronze serpent and the ark were more than just decor. They were fuzzy pictures of the Messiah himself. But it's not just a history lesson. Todd brings truth to our wishy-washy postmodern world. Your truth? My truth? Psh, not how the Bible lays it out. The Bible lays out objective spiritual truth, whether you prefer it or not. Jesus made exclusive claims. He's either Lord, liar, or a lunatic. There's no fourth option, folks. So grab your copy of Jesus Unmasked today. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll be convicted, but most importantly, you'll encounter the unfiltered Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Grab your copy of Jesus Unmasked right now at wretched.org.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press. We'll keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. And if you're feeling a bit spiritually lost, Pastor John Krotz has you covered with more degrees than a thermometer and wisdom that'll set your soul on fire. And for the Gen Z men out there wondering if there's more to life than TikTok, say hello to Dr. Adam Tyson. And if you have marriage and parenting woes, Pastor Brad Bigney's wisdom will help you navigate those tricky waters. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Can God make a rock so big he cannot lift it? God is all-powerful. He created the universe and everything in it, and nothing can thwart his will. So the question of the rock is nonsensical. It does not expose a problem with God, but with the thinking of the one asking the question, and they will one day have to answer to the omnipotent God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah. Welcome back to Wretched Radio, destined now to be a hit because repetition seems to propel songs to the top of the charts. Why not entire radio programs? So, hey. Jimmy, could you provide some synthesizer music?
Yeah, I'm on it.
You could just AI. We could write a hymn, couldn't we?
We could.
We could write a worship song.
We could.
I wonder if they AI these mega churches with all of their repetitive stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. Where's that that AI thing? Did you put that in my dealy, Bob?
It's
okay. If you didn't think that AI has taken over the world, get ready for this. I'm telling you, this is crazy. Jimmy, what's it titled?
Wretched Radio.
Okay. Tell everybody what you did to produce what they're about to hear.
I just put some notes about the show in, just a few notes. And
what does that mean, notes about the show?
Just like features that we do.
Okay.
You be the judge. Things like that. Just put some notes about the show and less than 60 seconds.
This is what he got. Perky. Kind of Meghan Trainor-y, maybe.
Every day we tune in to a show that's truly grand, with Todd and Jimmy guiding us through this sinful land.
It's not great, but come on. That's like, it sounds like a human being. You can feel the synth, you know, the electronics in it. But it produced the music, the singer, and the lyrics.
From the streets on Wednesday to the mailbag every week, we learn to preach the gospel strong to the humble and the meek. Oh, Wretched Radio.
It had 1-0. Never going to be a hit. All right, Jimmy, we won't be able to get to this. I want you to ask it to write a, maybe you can get this. We've got 8 minutes. You can make it happen.
Challenge accepted.
Repetition. With the words "oh," and make sure they include fire, wind, and breathing. And then let's see what we come up with. If you would like to experience perhaps a different type of worship, would like to invite you to Fargo, North Dakota. You say, what are we going to find there exactly? You're going to find a conference, the 3535 Conference. It is going to be a 2.5-day event that thinks more deeply on the local church. It's going to be focusing on the debates that were raging like a fire with the anointing from the wind of the heavens. Sorry, I mixed my centuries. They were debating the local church. What does it look like? Who has authority in the local church? What is the extent of the authority? And it perhaps culminated in 1689 with the London Baptist Confession, where there are a number of articles about the importance of the local church. If you'd like to think more deeply about the local church than perhaps you ever have, I don't think you'll find a conference that's going to go deeper regarding ecclesiology. It's the 3535 Conference. Google it. Join me. I'm not speaking, and that's one more reason to go. I'm just going to be there, drinking it in with you, and get ready for this, singing psalms, not hymns and spiritual songs, psalms. It's going to be a psalms-only conference. If you've never done that, I'm telling you, it's going to challenge your thinking on music, what we sing, how we sing. Hope to see you at the 3535 Conference. Jimmy, how you doing over there? You working on it?
I think so. I think I'm done.
Got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I think, I don't know what this sounds like.
So all right, just put it into my, what's it going to be called in my folder?
A Breath of Life.
Breath of, and it's about Wretched.
I think so. I think it put Wretched in there. Oh,
it's not easy to be a music writer.
No, it's not.
Is it still grinding?
Yeah, it is.
All right. Wait till you hear that everything is going to become unnecessary. Unless, of course, we remember that human beings are more important than computers. Did you see the commercial? It's a Google AI sort of thing. And it goes very fast, but it's an individual saying something like, break down this email for me. It was a lengthier email. So in other words, could you make it simple for me? Can you dumb it down for me? And if AI can do as much as it appears that it's able to do, what's going to happen to the human brain? when we don't even know how to type what we're looking for, when we don't even know how to articulate a request, this will either, the AI business will either, and I think it will have some benefits for human flourishing, but I think a danger is we's going to get stupider because it does everything for you. It was breaking down the email, explaining, right. We're not going to need authors anymore. I think you could go in. All right, I'm working on a book. It's just under 60,000 words right now. I'll bet I could have saved myself a lot of time and just asked it to write it for me. I could put in the chapter titles and just say, this is basically what I want the chapter to be about. Please include 20 Bible verses. Make sure there are 3 colorful illustrations and write it in my voice. Boom. Done. The only way that we will be able to put any reins on the AI, I think there's 2 ways. Number one, I think we'll start to see, this is affecting human jobs. People aren't able to work and they're not going to be able to AI if they can't eat. That'll help. But if we have a higher view of imago Dei, human beings, that we come first, not technological advances. I know it's easy to confuse the two, but we got to keep it straight. Any technological advances must serve us, not put us out of work, not lead us to the unemployment line. We need, are you done?
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, boy.
I haven't heard it now, so I don't know.
All right. What's this thing called again? I'm sorry. Breathless?
Breath of life.
Breath of life. Yeah. Here we go. Produced in how many minutes did that take, Jimmy? Just, 3?
Yeah.
3 minutes. Here we go. I think the keywords were wind, fire, breathing, wretched.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Not synthesizery enough. I'm not getting in the mood.
Breath of life so free, wind that whispers near, fire that draws me near. Ooh, I feel. Ooh, it's real.
This is frightening. That could be on the next Elevation album.
Blowing winds of grace, holy fire embrace.
Ah!
Breath, breathe, ooh.
While I inhale, I need an inhale. Hey. It's so basic.
Oh, yeah. But hold on. You're not. Here comes the wretched.
Okay. My favorite part.
Wretched once I was.
Okay.
Found in love because.
Nope. That couldn't go on one of their albums.
Nope.
Because I was wretched. No, we already. Didn't the Methodists take that out of Amazing Grace?
Did they really?
Yeah, that saved a person like me. Okay.
Breath of life came down. Turn this heart around.
Yeah. This, you know what the trend seems to be too, is slipping in and out of that falsetto, which I appreciate from a singing skill standpoint, but this can't be corporate worship. That stuff that we were listening to, that's why most people just stand there with their eyes closed and their hands up, swaying, but not singing. You can sing this? I know it's not a real song, but it could be.
Amaze. Blowing winds of grace, holy fire embrace.
Would you like to experience something different? Go to Fargo. You'll experience. I actually like Fargo. I have a confession to make. 200,000 people, and if you visit Fargo for the 3535 conference, make sure you go downtown. Go to the university. It's okay. Maybe it doesn't have the same level of buildings of the Ivy League schools, but you're going to get that vibe. It's like, well, this is nice. And I don't think it's nearly as crazy as those places appear to be these days. You'll hear something different with psalm singing. You'll be challenged in music writing. You'll be challenged in what music you pick for your worship services on Sunday. And you're going to spend more time thinking about what Jesus loves, and that is the assembling of the saints in the local church. And now is the time we need this. Did the dead guys have everything right? Well, nobody has everything right, but they thought deeply. And they took the time to ponder and consider, what are we doing here? How are we conducting this thing? What is its goal? For whom are we doing church? What should be the order of worship? What should be the elements that are contained therein? What about church discipline? What sort of authority does the pastor have? What role do I have as a congregational member? Do I get to vote? What about church polity? All of those questions will be explored deeply. So hopefully you can join us in Fargo, 3535 Conference, where you won't hear this. Until tomorrow, oh, man, go serve your king.